Happy to be here again. We're actually on our way to America. We're going to Kansas City for 6 months of training for our work in Kenya. We've lived in Kenya for 7 years now and really felt that in order for us to keep leading this work, this ongoing growing work, and to give good leadership to it, we felt it'd be quite helpful for us to get some further training. And so we'll be going to Kansas City. There's an organization there with a Bible school, whole university, and we'll be there for 6 months before we go back to Kenya. And then we thought, if we're going to Kansas City, we'll be so close to Lethbridge compared to Kenya that we can't ignore coming to Lethbridge. And so we decided to travel via Lethbridge, and so at least we can say hi and meet some of you again. Thanks again. Even just in the last 8 months that we've been in Kenya, so many of you have visited us, emailed us, prayed for us, given to us, Facebooked us, everything. And we feel so connected. And thank you so much for caring for us when we're not here, when we're in Kenya. And we really do feel loved and supported. And it's hard to thank you guys enough. It means a lot to us. So thank you so much. So tonight is a reporting night. So I'm not going to say anything about what we're doing and what's going on. If you want to hear a little more about what's up, then you're very welcome to come in tonight, and we'll just kind of share from our heart what we've been doing, where we feel God is taking us. So that's tonight, 7 p.m. at the Fireside Room. This morning, I just want to share a couple of things on offering resistance to the devil's attacks on our lives. And before I do that, I just want to start with prayer. Ask God to speak to us this morning. God, I thank you that you are here in the midst of us. We acknowledge your presence, God, and it's a comforting thought to know that you know what we need even right now. And so, God, we look upon you this morning and ask that you would speak to us. God, would you minister to our hearts? Would you give us understanding? Would you give us discernment? And ask that you would change us even this morning. And so, Holy Spirit, would you come and speak to us? We open our hearts to your goodness tonight, this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. If you've ever stepped halfway into a movie, it can be a little hard to understand what's going on. I remember some years ago, like one time, and I'm sure I've done it many times, but I went to some friends and they were watching this action movie, and I stepped in halfway and I had no idea what was going on. Like, why is this guy trying to kill this guy? Like, why are these against each other? And who's on the same team? And I just didn't have a clue of what was going on. And so I had to ask my friends all the time, like, so who's that again? And what did he say again? And finally I caught up with the story and I was able to enjoy the movie. And it's the same thing, at least a bit, in our lives. When we are born, we're born into this huge story, all this stuff that's going on. And if nobody explains to us the story, the things that happen in life can be hard to interpret or can be confusing. The things that come against us, the things that happen, can be hard to understand if we do not know the context we're born into. And obviously the Bible gives us great understanding on all these things. And in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus gives us some understanding. He says, the thief, speaking about the devil, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and they may have it abundantly. And here we can kind of draw a line, and Jesus says there's two sides. The devil, he's a thief. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy you. He's against you. He's our enemy. I'm on the other side. I am for you. I am good. I have come to give you life in abundance. And that's where we make the choice, of course. You choose to receive the life of Jesus, to live and walk with him, to be his child. Or we can turn our back on him and give in to the devil, and he'll make us his slave. And so we're born into this war, and God and the devil are fighting, and they're fighting over us. The devil's out to destroy us. Jesus is for us and wants to give us life. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, speaking about Jesus and his ministry on the earth, it says that he went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil or who were overcome by the devil. So in Jesus' time, there were people that he encountered who were overwhelmed and oppressed by the work of the devil in their lives. The devil had a grip, had influence on their lives, and Jesus came against that and set them free. An example is in Luke chapter 13. I just want to go there and read it with you. Luke chapter 13, there's a woman who's sick, been sick for 18 years. Jesus heals her. Luke 13, we'll read from verse 11. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. Like, this is nasty. Like, if for 18 years you have to walk bent over, that's what this woman had. And when Jesus saw her, verse 12, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Jesus healed her. But not everybody was happy. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day." And the Lord then answered them and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all of the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. So here was a woman who was sick, had been sick for 18 years, but her sickness wasn't caused by natural things. It was actually the devil's influence. Satan had her bound. And it was a spirit of infirmity. And Jesus delivered her, and immediately she was healed as well. And so here's an example of somebody whom in their lives had Satan attacking that person. And for one way or another, Satan got authority and influence in that person's life. The result, the way it manifested, was a physical sickness. And Jesus, as it said in Acts 10:38, went around doing good. He met this woman and healed her from her oppression of the devil. Now, this happened in Jesus' day, but it also still happens today. There are people who are overcome by the attacks of the enemy. And Jesus is still good and goes around and heals people. Some years ago, I was in Holland still working for Soul Survivor, this youth ministry that we were a part of. We had a young man from Ireland who was part of our ministry. He moved to Holland and he was responsible for one of the things that we were doing. And but he had had back pain for many years, and there were other symptoms as well, but the main thing was his back. And he had been to doctors and hospitals, but they were never really able to sort him out, to get him healed and to figure out what really was the problem. And in the meantime, all those years, like, the back pain was this constant factor that was bothering him. And one morning, on a Monday morning, we'd always gather with our office to start the week in prayer. And this morning, like, this guy, Jonathan was his name, he said, "Guys, can you pray for me? My back is hurting me so bad, it's affecting my sleep now. I'm really struggling with this, and we don't know how to fix this. Nobody seems to know." And so, obviously, we started praying for him. And then, as we were praying, one of our office staff got this word of knowledge and felt God saying that it was a spirit of infirmity, that it was had a spiritual cause, and that it may have been something that came, you know, from his family lines, or something that he inherited from his forefathers. And so, I mean, we were all pretty new to this and young, and we're like, "All right, let's pray about that and take authority and set him free if that needs to happen." And so we're kind of trying, because we weren't too sure what we were doing. But as we were praying into this and just offering resistance to the influence of the devil on his life, he felt this thing leave off of him. Like, he felt this freedom coming, and all the pain left him, and since then he'd been healed. And it was this very similar story to what we just read in Luke 13 of a young man who was sick, but the reason was that the devil had an influence on his life, and we took authority and he was healed. And as far as I know, he's still fine. And when I grew up, in a Christian home. And my parents always told me and said, "Daniel, if the devil attacks you, you just say, 'In Jesus' name, go away,' and he'll go away." And whenever they would tell me that, they would always refer to this Bible verse in James 4:7, where it says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." And so I grew up with that and always knew that. But it was only one night that this became real to me, when I went to bed, like I do most nights. I was in my bed, switched off the lights, and as I was laying there to go to sleep, all of a sudden this fear came over me. And I just felt scared, and the sounds that I heard that night just seemed scary and different, and I couldn't interpret where they were from. And I just felt scared in my bed. And I was a teenager, and I thought, come on now, you're not a kid, be a man, don't be afraid. And I tried to reason the fear away, but I couldn't shake it. And so I struggled for a while, and then finally, I felt God speaking to me, saying, Daniel, this fear is not from you. So I thought, all right, if the fear is not from me, like, I don't think God would give me this fear, then it might be the devil attacking me. All of a sudden, I was right awake. I was like, the devil is attacking me here. And immediately I thought, you know, my parents told me, if the devil attacks you, you say, in Jesus' name, go away. So I thought, let me do this now. And so out loud in my bed as I was laying there, I was like, in Jesus' name, Satan, go away. Like, it's not like I was seeing him. I didn't even know where to look or to say this. And I was like, fear, go away in Jesus' name. And I said it a few times. And every time I said it, like, I felt more confident because I thought, this is right. Jesus is stronger. This is a good thing to do. So in Jesus' name, go away. And after a few times, all the fear, it went away. Like, it left me. And nothing changed. It was just as dark as before. The sounds were all the same, but the fear was gone. And to me, it was a good lesson and it made it real to me that actually the devil does seek to attack us, but we can offer resistance. And if we do, in Jesus' name, Satan goes. And I just want to read that verse in James 4, verse 7. The verse that my parents would always refer to. The full verse says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I knew that part, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But that verse part actually is very key. It says, therefore, submit to God. And as I was, after this experience, this one evening, my interest got aroused in spiritual warfare and resisting the devil. And it kind of made me aware of this battle that's going on. And so reading this verse, and I felt God starting to speak to me and giving me understanding that in order for us to resist the devil and to offer, you know, resistance to his attacks on our lives, it is very key that we submit to God. Actually, that's where it begins. You submit to God. You yield to God. You rest in the fact and accept the authority God has over your life and over all things. And we rest in his authority. And that's the ground that we stand upon from where we can offer resistance to the devil's attacks. Our authority in spiritual warfare is not based on our eloquence of speaking or just saying the right thing or how awesome or good looking or how big our ministry is. It is all based on who God is and who we are in Christ Jesus. Knowing your identity in God is very key, I believe, in offering resistance to the devil's attacks on our lives. And one of my favorite Bible books is got to be Ephesians. And there's a time in my life, and I've shared this before, when I was thinking, like, what is my identity? Who am I really? Like, I know where I'm from and my name and where I live and all that stuff. But like, who am I really? Like, what defines me? And I was reading in Ephesians one time, and in verse 5, it says that God the Father chose us. I mean, he predestined us, predetermined our destination to be his sons and daughters, accepted through Jesus Christ. It's according to his good will and pleasure. And God spoke to me saying, like, Daniel, you are my son. That's who you are. And that's what defines me more than anything else. Like, my name is Daniel. I'm married to a great wife and kids. I live in Kenya and all that kind of stuff. But and those are all important things. But the most important thing about me, what defines me more than anything else, what my identity is that I am a son of God. God is my father and I am brought into his family. That's where I'm from. That's where I'm going. That's what I belong to. That's the most important thing about me. And that's what changes everything. And also, that's what gives me authority. And so that's what it says in Ephesians 1, verse 5. And then in that chapter, it goes on. And then at some point, the Father, it says that the Father raised Jesus from the dead. And that he placed him in this incredible place of authority. And it says, it's in verse 20 and 21, it says that Jesus was raised from the dead, and the Father seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So Jesus was given all authority in heaven and earth. And then in the second chapter, it says that now God raised us up with him and made seated us in Christ Jesus with him in the heavenly places. So we've been given this incredible place of authority in Jesus and can share in his victory. And then in the last chapter, Paul tells us to now to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so our identity is that we are children of God. We are seated in this incredible place of authority, and we are in Christ Jesus and can stand in his authority. And then Paul tells us to take a stand against the devil's attacks and to be strong, but not in our own strength, but in the power of Jesus' name. And that's what we base our authority on in our lives in resisting the devil. That's the ground we stand upon. And I think that's very key for us to really know and to be aware of. We submit to God, yield to his authority, believe who he says he is and who we are in him. And from there, we offer resistance to the devil and we will see Satan flee. Some months ago, Marlise and I, and we've been married for 11 years and have an awesome marriage. But some months ago, there was maybe for 2 weeks or so, that there was just seemed to be this tension just in our communication. Stuff just didn't seem to flow, and it felt like we were losing intimacy. And if there was an argument, I mean, we'd talk it out, but it felt like we were losing the peace in our relationship. And then I had to go on this trip to Nairobi, and I was gone for 2 days. And as I was driving home, just thinking about this, I was praying, and then I felt God telling me that I had to fight for my intimacy with Marlise and that we were under attack. And so I came home determined to offer resistance to the devil's attack on our marriage, on our relationship. And so the next morning in my devotional time, just spent like 30 minutes just offering resistance. And I began actually here in Ephesians, the first chapter, just submitting God, surrendering and saying, God, our relationship belongs to you. God, I'm your child. You know, just resting in who I am in the Lord. And as my awareness for that grew, I said, God, I've got this issue, and obviously you know about this. And it's I started coming against any attacks that the devil may be targeting on our relationship, on our communication, on our intimacy, and just offering resistance and just surrendering again our relationship to the Lord. And I did that one morning, and then I did it again the next morning. And I had not told Marlise about that. But then the second day, around lunchtime, I was at home and Marlise came to me and said, Daniel, are you praying for me? Because I feel like something is changing spiritually. I feel like something is different from the way it's been the last 2 weeks. And so then I told her, I said, yeah, I think we're under attack. And I think we need to offer resistance to the devil. And I did this for a week. And after a week, it was like things were back to normal. Our intimacy was restored. There was peace. We didn't have that tension, those arguments anymore. And everything has been perfect since. Not really. but it was a very real example of how the devil can attack and was attacking our marriage. And as we offer resistance, the devil flees. Now, sometimes God will use us also to help other people come free. One of my first experiences is we were just starting to do the Soul Survivor Youth Conferences. And somebody had spoken. And afterwards, we're just having this time of ministry and just praying for people. And I was going around praying for people. And I saw this one guy sitting on the ground, just kneeling. And he seemed really to be in distress. Like his face, you could see he was unhappy. He was just looking difficult. Like he was struggling. And so I knelt right next to him. I said, hey, what's up? Can I pray for you? And he said, yeah, I'm not doing well. And so I said, well, you know, why? Like, what's up? And he said, I was raised in a Christian home. And I think he said, I am Christian. But in the last year, I've not been doing so. I've been struggling. And then some months ago, I went to this dance party. And in Holland, like a lot of people are into like that trance, like with the heavy beat dance music. And quite regularly they organize those all night dance parties, but they can be pretty dark and evil. And a lot of like the whole thing is about sexuality and drugs. Most guys would be on drugs and trying to get high and just go for, you know, the whole night. And, this guy, he said, I like that kind of music. And so I decided to go to one of those parties. And he said, I knew it wasn't right, the good thing for me to do. But he said, I chose to go anyways. And he said, and as I was there dancing away all night, he said, at some point after a few hours, this guy came up to me all dressed in black. I mean, this was in Holland, all dressed in black and like a superhero, but it was all dark and evil. Like this, he had a black cape, and he came to me as I was dancing and started dancing around me in circles around me. And he was saying these things to me, and I couldn't understand what he was saying, but he said it was kind of dark. And he did that for a while. After that, he left again. And he said, and so I just went on. But he said, ever since that happened, it's like I feel like there's this wall of darkness around me, and I cannot connect with God. It's like this thing is in between me and God. He's like, and I don't feel intimate with the Lord. When I'm worshiping, I don't feel like I'm connecting with God. It's like I've lost sight of him. And even I'm struggling when I'm reading my Bible. He's like, I feel like I've lost God. And so I said, well, you know, like, and he traced it all back to that moment when this guy danced around him and probably cursed him. And so I said, well, like, if, you know, even as Christians, if we sin and we compromise, it's like we give the devil an access point to influence our lives. And I said, I don't believe that as Christians, to the very core of who we are, we can be fully possessed, because in the very core, the Holy Spirit lives in us. But I do believe that the devil can oppress us. And if we surrender, you know, if we compromise, if we sin and give in, the devil can have influence on our lives, and we do need to be delivered from that. And so we spoke about that. He repented. And then we took authority and prayed. And what was beautiful is you could see his whole appearance, his face just starting to change and starting to shine. Where it first looked so much in distress, it started beaming. And he was there with his eyes closed, and he started to have this experience. And he's just describing it. And he's like, he saw that it was almost like Jesus, I mean, that's what he said. Jesus stepped through this black wall that was all around him in all his brightness, and tore down the wall, broke it down, and he felt reunited with God again. And that night he just started worshiping, and he was just beaming, and he felt just free and reconnected with God. And it was beautiful to see. And then the next morning, because there's a conference and we're all camping there, I saw him again, and I went up to him and was like, hey, how are you doing? And he said, Daniel, I'm so happy. I feel so free. He said, last night I went to the tent to sleep, and he said, I was just so happy. I was just laughing out loud alone in my bed, because I feel so happy. I feel so free and reconnected with God. He's like, I'm free. Thank you. And also one time I went, and this was still in Holland, and I'm giving all my samples from the West intentionally, because sometimes we think that only in Africa that kind of stuff happens. So if I give you my examples from Africa, you say, yeah, that's in Africa. But all these things happen in the West. I was speaking somewhere. There's also a youth meeting. And afterwards, this guy came up to me, and he wouldn't look to me. He was just like this, like, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. And he started talking and just didn't look at me at all. And so I thought, either thinks that I'm really, really ugly, or there's something else going on. And so he started to talk, and he said, actually, I'm really struggling. He said, as a young child, I was abused sexually, and I think by his uncle. And he said, I feel really lonely. I've got no friends. I'm addicted to pornography. I've been drinking. Had taken some drugs. He said, and I've been looking at occult games, getting involved with occult games. And he said, but recently, so he said my life was messed up, but he said recently I was at home in the office living with his parents, and he said I was on my computer and I got this email, and in the email was this story, kind of a scary story that you had to read through, and at the end was the picture that you had to look at. And the story, I don't remember exactly how it was, but there was something along the lines of you're walking into a forest and it gets darker and darker, and you get to the middle of the forest and there's this open place and something laying there in the middle, and you have to walk down there and you look at it. And then at the end of the story, there's at the bottom of the email was a picture, and I don't know what was on there. But it said that you had to look at the picture, keep looking, until something would happen. So he read the story and he was looking at the picture. And he said, and as I was looking at the picture on the computer monitor, and these are, you know, this is a true story, like this is what happened with him. He said, it was like this black lightning flash came out of the screen to my face, and he said, and it knocked me back over, and he felt on the back, like on his back, on the ground, and he said, and I couldn't move for I don't know how long, and he said, and I felt just this evil presence come over me, and he said, I tried to call my mother, but I couldn't speak, and then after a while, like, he said, I could move again, I got up. But he said, ever since that day, I feel so scared. I'm haunted by fear. He said, I walk through the streets, even in broad daylight, and whenever I come to a corner or turn, I always feel scared because I always expect somebody to wait around the corner to attack me. And he said, if I come home at night and go to my bed, it's like I see these dark things moving. There's always this evil presence in my life ever since that happened. He says, I am so scared. Can you help me? So obviously this guy needed more help than some prayer, but we did pray about this one issue, and I took authority and he got delivered. And again, also his face, you could just see how it changed, and he started looking at me, having a normal conversation, became real peaceful, and God delivered him from that thing that happened that moment. And again, this story, it made me so aware that actually it is so real. The devil is so real, and he's really out to attack us. And then the danger is that sometimes we can get a little too impressed with the devil, which we don't need to be. Like, we can be impressed with God and his power, and we actually have great authority in Jesus' name. We can offer resistance and see, you know, in our own lives, offer resistance to the devil, but also for other people, lead other people into freedom, to see them set free. This Bible verse has become so precious to me. Submit to God, which is the right thing to do. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I'm sorry, I don't have like really deep, complicated message this morning. Actually, I probably never will. I never have. But I just really felt God wanted to encourage you to take a stand and to offer resistance to the devil's attacks. He doesn't take a summer break. I mean, your kids might be under attack. Your marriage might be under attack. Your business. And you do not have to accept it. You can offer resistance and he will flee from you. And I pray, my prayer this morning is that we would have discernment. That's often the problem with me. Like that I don't discern and then I think it's me, that I'm failing, that I'm falling short, but it's the devil attacking us. And the problem is he always comes in so sneaky. But if we allow him and give him space, like he'll keep going until he messes everything up. And nothing the devil does is helpful or good. Because he only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But if we get the discernment and understand like, hey, it's the devil attacking us, then now we can offer resistance and take a stand in the authority we have in Christ Jesus. And we will see the devil flee from us. Let's pray. God, we ask for discernment. God, we ask that in our lives, in our marriage, in our business, in our families, in the church, in this city, God, that you would give us your eyes, your perspective. God, I ask for each one of us that you would show us if there are areas where we are under attack, that you would show us what is going on, and that Holy Spirit, you would lead us into battle, that you would help us to resist the devil, and that we would be those who see the devil flee from us. God, we do not want the devil to break down our lives, our marriages, our kids, our relationships. God, we want to offer resistance. Jesus, we praise you. I thank you that you have destroyed the devil's power, that you have taken all authority. And Jesus, I ask that you would teach us to, in your name, stand in your victory. In Jesus' name, amen.